aspire to Jen as well, and maybe even today you're confessing this deep desire, or to be an actor. Well, you know, I think sometimes, it certainly is normal, people look on TV or see some great movie actress or actor and say, wow, it'd be awesome one day to be in the lights like that. But this morning, I want to speak on the subject that Jesus speaks on beginning in Matthew chapter 6, on this subject. That's exactly a great illustration, Ted. Thank you very much. Yeah, if we could just turn them off, that'd be great. I want to speak on this subject from Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus deals with, and that is this. Beware of putting on a show as a follower of Jesus. This is what Jesus is going to say to us beginning in Matthew chapter 6. The other night I was watching one of the news stations, and this guy has a news program, and with it he had two brothers he was talking to. One is a liberal Democrat and one is a conservative Republican. And one of the brothers, they were having a debate back and forth. And one of the brothers looked at his brother and says, now, do you really believe that? And he said, the problem with my brother is a Hollywood actor. He said, I can't tell if he really means it or if he's just acting. Well, the best actors make it seem real, right? That makes a really good actor. When an actor can make it seem like he's not acting, you say, wow, that's a great actor. But you know, for Christians, according to Matthew chapter 5, and last week, particularly verses 17 to 48, not only is the righteousness of a true follower of Jesus to surpass that of just a religious person, because it's supposed to be a heart righteousness, not an exterior one. Jesus said last week that the Pharisees and the scribes, they're worried about that you should not murder. But Jesus says, I'm concerned, do you have a heart that murders? Do you have a heart that hates or that feels contempt? These guys are worried about that you should not commit adultery. But Jesus said, what I'm worried about is, do you have a heart that commits adultery? Do you have a heart that lusts? So Jesus is saying that the righteousness of a true follower of Jesus surpasses that of the righteousness of a normal person trying to be religious. And therefore, because of the heart change in you, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. But now what Jesus is going to take that a little further with us today in Matthew chapter 6, continuing his sermon to his disciples. Not only is your righteousness to surpass it, but you're also to have a sincere righteousness. Not only a surpassing righteousness, but a sincere righteousness. In other words, this: Christians are not actors. Now look at Matthew chapter 6 in verse 1. Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Jesus is saying to his followers, those who truly have been made righteous in their heart, there is a threat that you're going to face as you follow me, and you're going to face this temptation to practice your righteousness so that men will notice you. And Jesus says, if you do this, you have lost your reward with the Father. Don't be an actor. Be righteous for God, not for men. And by the way, don't we all notice that whenever you do some, you know, spiritual or righteous duty, and you're doing it to so that other people say, wow, what a great guy that is, what a great husband, what a great Christian, what a great citizen, what a great person. Really, you're doing that for who? You're doing it for you. And what is Jesus is saying here to us is this: seek God's glory, not your own. The Bible says in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said when he was preaching, and he wrote this letter to the Philippians, he said, there are some people who in truth do preach Christ from envy and from strife. But there are also some people who preach Christ from a good will. And then he said, the former, the kind that I'm talking about that preach Jesus, but they're doing it out of envy. They're jealous of this guy, so they're going to start there. They're going to get their crowd. Or they do it because they can't get along with anybody else, so they open up their church because they're the only ones that have it right. They're motivated by strife. They're motivated by pride, motivated by envy. And Paul says, these people proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, but not from pure motives. The Bible says in the New Testament this, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time regarding men's ministries. Wait until the Lord comes, because when the Lord comes, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, He is going to bring to light the things that are hidden in the darkness, and He's going to disclose the motives of men's hearts. Then each man will receive his praise from God. What is God concerned about with us as we seek to follow Jesus in our city? He's concerned that we practice this righteousness for Him and not to be noticed by anybody else. You see, there are some that may appear that can do, you know, what we observe, boy, what a great ministry, what a great Christian, what a great person. And God knows the motive of the heart. If it's driven by selfish ambition, that man will not receive praise from God. And so Jesus tells us after Matthew chapter 5, saying, those of you on this earth that are poor in spirit, that mourn for your sin, that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that are merciful, that are pure in your heart, that are peacemakers, that are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, and you do not respond with revenge, you are the most blessed people on the earth. Now let your righteousness shine, and let it be a surpassing righteousness of the heart, not of the exterior. And now, having said all that, he opens up the next part of his sermon and says, now I want to warn you, don't do it to be noticed by men. Now, my dad was a pastor for several years in Warwick. And I remember one time I was in junior high and we had a guest speaker come for a week to our church. And I wasn't paying much attention. I mean, I think it was like 13, 12 years old at the time. And I'm just, you know, great, just enjoying this guest speaker that's there. But my dad found out that this guy was an actor while he was there. Right before he came, apparently he'd been at a church in Massachusetts where one of my dad's good friends is a pastor. And this pastor had called my dad right before this man came to our church the very next week. And he said to my dad, he said, it's unbelievable. He said, this guy in this one particular service, he preached this one particular message. He said it was amazing. He could not continue on the sermon. He lost total control. And he said, you should have seen. He told my dad, he said, man, all the people just responded. Their hearts were broken. So my dad heard this. And he began to watch this guy. He was there one day. He was there a second day. And he began to not feel real good. There's something, you know, not real here. And he said, sure enough, they were at this one session, and this guy starts to preach the same message that the guy in Massachusetts told my dad that he had done. And sure enough, like clockwork, he got to a certain point of the sermon, and he lost all control. He could not continue the sermon. He walked off the platform, and my dad couldn't believe it, because this guy had just done the exact same thing, you know, like on cue, press play. He walks off the stage, and my dad says, he looks at the guy, and the guy has his hand over his eyes, and he's looking back to see how people, you know, if people are crying, if they're going to. The man's an actor. He wants a response. And so Jesus basically says to us, rich reward do you want? Do you want man's praise, or do you want God's? Matter of fact, if you look back at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, it's very clear. Do you know that when we live in a way for God's glory that pleases God genuinely, Jesus says you will be rewarded for this? You really will. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12 says, when you've been persecuted for the sake of righteousness? Verse 12 says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Isn't that great to know that? That as we, as God's, at the followers of Jesus, who He has changed our hearts, and because of that we desire, we want to please God. And although we have a strong flesh, and by God's grace He keeps on dealing with us, we hunger and thirst, like the Bible says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. When the sun first rises in the morning, it's not as bright as it will be by high noon. And the Bible says that's the way it is with the righteous person. The longer his life goes, the brighter his light shines until the day he sees Jesus. All right, so this is what God's doing in our heart. And as that happens, the Bible says as you live for God's glory, you are going to be rewarded for that. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? He is saying to them, he is telling us, his followers telling us, there is a reward for genuine righteousness, a genuine pursuit of pleasing God. You're going to be rewarded for this. And then chapter 6 verse 1, again he brings up the idea of reward. He's going to do that more in these verses. So he wants us in our lives to live for the praise of God and not for men. And he's going to give us three different ways in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 2, in which we are to not put on a show. The first way is in verses 2 to 4. Beware of putting on a show when you give. Verse 2 says, so when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Jesus says, look at these guys. They get out, they're ready to give to the poor. Boom, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-boom. Everybody looks. Look, guys, here I am. Here I'm giving to the poor guy. What are you guys? Jesus says, don't. Because then he says, truly I say to you, the person who does this, who makes a big scene out of his charity, he has his reward in full. All right. Are you happy that those people notice you? You have your full reward. You got what you wanted. But, verse 3, when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, it should be so... it is so unknown what you've done, even you don't remember it. Even you don't know it. I mean, you gave with your right hand, your left hand didn't know your right hand did that. You gave and because you did it for God. It wasn't for anybody else to see. So that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He will reward you. You know, the Bible says, how blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will be with him in a day of trouble. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed, and in his illness he will restore him to health. God knows the people who give for him. And he says he's going to bless them. There's a well-known citizen in our state. I'm sure you guys have seen facilities with his name emblazoned. And I read one time where this guy will not make a donation unless wherever he makes a donation, they put his name in big letters on the side of that. But the scripture says to us, don't give like a hypocrite. And by the way, the word hypocrite is an old word for actor. Don't act like, you know, I'm giving this out of the generosity and my care and compassion of my heart when actually it's all for you. Or I'm giving to God. I'm going to give. And boy, people, can you believe what I've given today? The Bible tells a story one time in the New Testament. There was, back in the early church, that what the people would do, the Christians, because they were under a time of great persecution, a lot of the Christian brothers and sisters had no possessions. And so some of the more wealthy Christians who were coming to believe in Jesus, sometimes they would sell some of their property and bring it into the church, and they would distribute to families who had nothing. The Bible tells a story of one day a man and his wife in the early times in Jerusalem there in the first century, they sold some of their property, but they did not bring the full proceeds of the sale when they brought the offering to the church. And the scripture says that God let Peter know when he took that offering that they were lying. The Bible says that God actually in the first century struck them dead, because their generosity was false. You know, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 51, you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The Bible tells a story in the Old Testament, the book of 1 Samuel, that one day a king named Saul, he was told to destroy an enemy group of people and totally destroy them. But he decided to save some of the best of the flock and save some of the best of their possessions. And when the prophet came back to him, Samuel, he said, why didn't you obey God? And he said, well, yeah, but look, of the best stuff I kept, I gave an offering to God. And he said to him, has God as much delight in offerings and in sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. You know what God wants from me and you when we give? To do it genuinely for the Lord and not for men, and ultimately for ourselves. As somebody once said, when reputation becomes more important than character, we have become a hypocrite. When you are more concerned with what other people think you are than what you are, you're a hypocrite. And there are plenty of people who are willing to do that. As long as everybody in their family thinks they're a certain way, or at their job, or at their church, they're fine. As long as you think they're that way, then everything's fine. They are not concerned to go any farther than that. All right, this is an actor. And Jesus says, if you are a true disciple of Jesus, you do it for God. So first, beware of putting on a show when you give. All right, look at the second way Jesus applies this. Beware of putting on a show, beginning in verse 5 to verse 14, when you pray. Verse 5 says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. You see the guy, he's out there to be like some guy, you know. I remember last year going to Boston with a buddy of mine. And it was during the winter time. We were going to kind of walk the Freedom Trail and go see some of the sights there. And then here was this, I don't know what, it was some kind of, I don't know if it was a Buddhist or someone like this, some kind of meditating type religion. And this guy had set a blanket right in the middle, I mean, in front of everybody. He was there, his legs were, you know. Jesus said, don't be like that. Don't be a person who stands out here because you want people to see you're, wow, what a great person. Don't give like a hypocrite and don't pray like a hypocrite. It's like someone has said, the Pharisees prayed to men, not to God. That's who they prayed to. And by the way, when a person prays like this, they don't get any answers because they weren't praying to God in the first place. And you know what? As a hypocrite, they're not really looking for an answer. They're just looking. They'd be shocked if God answered that. They didn't mean it. I mean, they're just putting on a show for you. Don't pray like this. Don't pray like a hypocrite, but do this. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. If you want to talk to God, talk to God. And don't be like some people who pray passionately, publicly, but seldom pray at all privately. But they can pour it on when they get in the group. But they have no time on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Can you imagine someone, let's say a husband, let's say if a husband and wife are married, and let's say if this husband is publicly sweet to his wife. You know, he gets to church and boy, he opens the door for her, gets her out and just, you know, publicly maybe extols her. But when they get in the car and no one else is there at the door, she has total disdain for her, nothing to say to her. Can't stand her during the week. But shows up in church or in public and oh, and the women say, oh, I wish my husband was like that. How would that wife feel? Don't put on a show. And that's how God feels. Don't stand up in a public place and you extol and you're flowery, but in reality it's not you. Save your words. You have your reward. You got what you wanted. It's like somebody has said, a hypocrite is satisfied with the shadow. The truly righteous makes sure of the substance. The hypocrite is satisfied that he appears righteous, but a truly righteous person makes sure that that righteousness is there. That's what he wants. He's not content with the shadow. He wants the substance. And so Jesus says, again, he's going to reward you. Verse 7 says, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, people who don't know God, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. They'll sit and say the same mindless thing over and over and over and over again. You see these people with their beads, and they're bringing them down, saying the same thing over and over and over again. Oh, I prayed this many beads today. I prayed this many. Congratulations. You wasted your breath and you wasted your time. Don't give God your meaningless phrases. Even sometimes, you know, what happens sometimes, and we all got to think about this, as followers of Jesus, it's very easy. Let's say you're praying for your meal. Thank you, Jesus, for this food. Bless this day. Bless us all. Amen. Next thing, thank you, Jesus, for this food. Bless this day. Bless us all. Amen. Sometimes it's very easy for us. I remember one time I started thinking about, even when I was praying, for a while I'm saying, dear Lord, give me this. Dear Lord, take care of this. Dear Lord, take care of this. And I thought to myself, wait a second. Do I ever talk to anybody else and say, Zeb, I went outside today. Zeb, I'm going back inside. Zeb, I'm going out. Zeb, I'm going here. Zeb, I'm going. Zeb. And I'm thinking about, okay, what am I thinking about even what I'm saying? And the Lord wants us, when we pray, to not use meaningless repetitions, he says. Verse 8, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. It's like somebody said, God doesn't hear your voice, he hears your heart. And the scripture says, guard your feet when you go into the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil, the scripture says. And then verse 2 of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, do not be hasty in your words or impulsive in your thoughts in the presence, to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. Think about what you, and by the way, that does not mean that Jesus does not want his disciples. There may be times in your heart when you pray a long time. Jesus prayed all night. What Jesus is not saying here is keep it short, keep it simple, get right to the point. What he's saying is be genuine and be real and say what you mean what you say. And man, if there's a lot on your heart, there's a lot on your heart. But don't just be verbose and say a bunch of meaningless things like religious people do because they think God's going to be impressed because they've rattled through all these things. No, he wants reality. When you pray, don't pray like a hypocrite. And when you give, don't give like one. He says in verse 9, pray in this way. Our Father who is in heaven. And by the way, isn't that awesome to know? We pray to our Father. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man among you is there, if his son asks him for a loaf of bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? We address him as our Father, the one who knows us and loves us and knows what we need. Verse 8. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We want, God, your name, you are truly great. You are truly set apart among all beings in the universe. You are truly holy. And you know what we pray, God? We want everyone else to treat your name like that. We say, please, God, may your name be revered. May your name be hallowed in the earth. That's what we want to see. That's how we feel about you, God. Not only may your name be revered, God, but may your kingdom come. By the way, someone asked this question one time. Is it not blaspheming? Is it not insulting the name of God for people to say prayers or to sing praises to him when they are grossly wicked and have no present intention to turn from their wicked ways? I mean, even this morning, if you're sitting here and you have plans when you leave here, in an hour, whatever time, when you take off, and you're going to go out and you are making provision for your flesh right now, be silent. The Bible says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I remember one time recently of someone that I know that I was a youth pastor of. They were on Facebook and they get on there and they were griping and complaining about all the terrible things going on in their life and then asking people to pray for them. And I happen to know this individual that ever since I've known them for years, they continue to live in rebellion against God, and now they're mad at God. Why aren't you helping me, God? And so if we genuinely come as the followers of Jesus and say, Jesus, we want your name to be hallowed, we're not just saying that, we mean it. Lord, we pray that your name will be set apart in our life and in this city. Would you please do that? And would you, God, let your kingdom come? Jesus, would you please set things right in this world? And would your reign extend in my heart as well? Lord, please, may you rule in a greater degree in my heart, in the way that I do treat my wife, my friends, my neighbors, the way I work, the way I speak, the purity of my mind, the fact how I respond to people when they mistreat me. Lord, I see what you want me to be. You want me to have the surpassing righteousness. And I ask you, Lord, that your kingdom, your rule would come in my heart. May it extend. And may it extend in this city, God. May your will be done, God, in earth just like it is in heaven. Do you know that in heaven today, God's will is done? In heaven, it is a wonderful place. God's purity and goodness and love faithfulness is perfectly done in heaven right now. And so the heart of the disciple says, Lord, can your will be done here like it is there? That's what we want. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. God, would you please give me what I need for the coming day? Provide my needs. And forgive us our debts. When we have done wrong against you, God, we have failed you, would you please forgive us for these sins as we have also forgiven our debtors? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, would you please protect us because we are weak. And then when the evil one does attack, would you deliver us from him? And again, when I look at this verse, I think of what someone else asked. They said, you who tempt others to sin and expose yourself willfully to temptation, will you mock God by praying, lead us not into temptation? Be genuine in that. Don't pray like a hypocrite. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Some translations have that little phrase at the end of verse 13. Some of them do not. The reason why is because a lot of the early manuscripts do not have that last little phrase there, but some Bibles include it, some don't. In verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." God wants your prayers and my prayers to be real. And you see, in an example of how to pray, he's concerned for God's rulership in our lives. He's concerned that God meet his needs. He's concerned that God protect us from temptation. So say those things to God. Be real. Say whatever's on your heart. Your Father knows what you need. But don't pray like a hypocrite to be seen by men. Pray to God. And he that sees in secret will reward you. And by the way, should that not drive, motivate all of us to pray? Your Father says he sees. And when you have your heart cries and needs, God says, go in your closet and pray. And your Father who sees the genuine cry of your heart will reward you. And so I urge all of you as my fellow brothers and sisters and followers of Jesus, let's pray. Pray for the things that are on your heart. Pray for this city. Our Father will reward us. Pray genuinely, but pray. And I'll tell you, who knows what God will do in this new church and in your life if you'll get real with God, lose your meaningless childhood sayings, and talk to Him what God will do. A lot of us spend a lot of time talking to everybody else in the world. And in the end, you ever notice that? You share all your burdens, everything that's going on, and after 3 hours and 45 minutes, you felt the same. Talk to God, man. And that's why on Wednesday night, by the way, in this brand new church, Wednesday nights, we really make it a time of pray. We have a prayer sheet here, and we pray for everyone by name who comes to this church and what God is doing in our life. We're praying for our friends who don't know Jesus. Man, guys, one of the things we love about starting this new church is for all of us to practice being a real disciple, and let's see what God will do. I don't know what He's going to do, but I know this, our Father who sees our hearts will reward us. Don't you guys want to know the real living God in your life? Experience that? Be a part of that. And now, the third way in which he says we are to beware of putting on a show. Beware of putting on a show when you fast. Verse 16 says, whenever you fast, in other words, whenever you decide out of a real, genuine hunger for God to work in your life, maybe you're struggling with sin, or maybe there's a certain tremendous need that you have, and you're so desperate for God to work that you choose not to eat because you really want to seek God. You need to see Him work, and so you go to Him. The Bible says, if this is what you do, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance, so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. You know, these religious people, they're fasting and they're walking to the street. Oh, dear brother, what is wrong with you? Oh, don't worry about it. I'm just fasting for the past week. No. Jesus says, okay, if you really want to seek me, seek me. And then if you're fasting, put your lotion on and walk out with a bright smile and go love Jesus. Because you didn't do it for them, right? Someone made this excellent point. He said, you know, one of the reasons why we know very little about fasting in the first century is because they probably did it like Jesus told them to do it. So, when you fast, don't fast like a hypocrite. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. Okay, great. Great. I told you guys one time, a few weeks ago, there was a time when I was a youth pastor. I took a bunch of the kids from youth group. We went up to Montreal, Canada, this very large cathedral. And there were these people. They were walking on their knees up the stairs. Some of them were hitting themselves, cutting themselves. You have your reward. Verse 18, so that your fasting will be not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Isn't that great? You guys see that three times in a row. Don't give like a hypocrite. Don't pray like a hypocrite. Don't fast like a hypocrite. Your righteousness is a real righteousness. It's not a show. And if you've been an actor, stop. Repent of your lying to God and your pride. And be real. And look at the promises. Three times in a row we've seen, your Father who sees what you give in secret will reward you. And your Father who sees that what you pray in secret will reward you. And your Father who sees when you fast in secret, He will reward you. It's like somebody has said, live for the audience of one. Live for the audience of one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 had said to us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And this is not contradicting that at all. Because the goal in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 and the goal in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 18 in both cases is God. And so someone has said, whereas in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, show your righteousness when you're tempted to hide it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 18 is saying this, hide your righteousness when you're tempted to show it. Let's live for the audience of one. Let's follow Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, all of us have to confess the pride of our heart and the natural tendency to want the praise of men for fellow bones of and bags of dirt to think that we're special. Lord, help us to get real with You. Lord, how we pray that You will just do a tremendous and mighty, mighty work in Down City Church, in every member. Lord, that we might grow and bear fruit like we never thought possible. That You would answer incredible prayers. That You would literally transform Kennedy Plaza. And as a result of that, that the salt and light of Your people here in Down City will spread to the entire city and transform it. Father, You have said to us that You who sees us in genuineness will reward us. And Father, we look to You. I pray that we, Your people, will be praying people, that we will be giving people, that we will be fasting people, that we will live and love Your kingdom and Your glory, and You'll meet our needs, and You'll protect us from temptation, and when we fall, You'll stand us up again. Dear Jesus, we need You. And as we've been reading Your word and finding out what it means to be a disciple, we just confess to You our weakness, our failures, and I'm so glad, Jesus, that You stand to help us be what You're calling us to be. And I thank You that You've given us Your Holy Spirit in our heart to give us the strength to be what You want us to be. So thank You. Thank You, God, for calling us to be real. I thank You that You are so real. You are so true. Lord, may we live as Your disciples this week. We ask this in Jesus' name.